the title of today's message be. I wasn't so sure. I was going to copy Minister Terry's song. Is it Homo Logos or something? But that word seems a bit strange. But I just want to title it The Word and the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit. So in the book of John, John chapter 16, verse 13 to 14, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you." Now, I'm sure, having read that 13 and 14, it's saying that the Holy Spirit will receive some information. So information is words, right? So we receive some information and make that information known to you. And when he does that, Christ is glorified, yeah? In a nutshell, that's how I can summarize that passage. See, that if you cast your mind back to the beginning of John, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." So Jesus is the Word, yeah? So in the beginning, the name of Jesus was the Word. And what the Holy Spirit's job is to declare the Word to us. You see, he's declaring the Word to us in a way that we have not, experienced before. Now, the scripture or the Bible is sometimes a mysterious book. Sometimes when you read it, we've learned about it, we've been taught in primary school, in secondary school. Some of us have even done exams on it. But I believe that we need the help of the Spirit to unlock what God is trying to say. You see, because the Word is also captured in Scripture. And Jesus is saying, I believe here, that the Holy Spirit helps us to unlock the Word. And that is very important for us, especially in these last days as believers. Let me share in Deuteronomy. I'll just quickly digress a little bit into Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. This is, I'm sure you know some of the passages very well. It says, Moses was speaking to the children of Israel. It says, "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you will keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Yeah. I'm sure you know that last sentence was spoken by Jesus when he was tempted by the devil as well. He says, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." Now, I'm sure if Jesus was speaking to this to Italians, he would say, "Man does not live by pasta alone," yeah, "but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." If he was speaking to the British, he would say, "Man does not live by fish and chips alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." You see, food is good. It has its place. But food cannot sustain you for eternal life, for eternity. What God expects us to do is that we feed on the Word of God. Now, like I said in the opening statements, sometimes the Word of God is mysterious. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to unlock, to reveal, you know, so that Christ is glorified. Because when there's revelation in the Word, I think the motivation to study the Word is there. Because you begin to say, wow, I didn't see this, you know. So but that's what God is expecting from us. See, the Holy Spirit, He makes the Scripture comes alive by quickening it. That's the way I can describe it. You know, He just brings a fresh revelation. You know, there's sometimes when I've read the Bible and my heart has pounded because, you know, I saw this and it's as if someone is speaking to me, someone right in front of me. I can't describe it. But my heart was, I could feel my heart beating. And, you know, it's sometimes that's the joy of what the Scripture can bring. So God wants us to live by every word that comes from Him. But in reality, what is happening is that we have been living by bread most of the time. You know, because if I was to ask everyone here that, which one have you, if you know, if in the, this past year, how many times have you lived on the word compared with how many times you've lived in terms of food? We know what will happen. You know, it's food comes up trumps. You know, but what God wants us to do is every day He wants us to live by the word. But I think it's easier said than done until you know the benefit of living in the word of God, until you know the advantages that comes from living in the Word of God. So I need to be assessing myself and saying, am I living by every word that comes from God? What is my attitude to God's Word? What is my obedience to the Word of God? Do I live in the good or the experience of what the Word says? Now, sometimes you read the Word and, you know, I even sometimes struggle as well, find it hard to believe that, Lord, you said this, but in my experience it's different. But you see, that does not nullify what God is saying in His Word. You see, because God's Word is not linked to your experience. God's Word is eternal, it's truth. You see, your experience eventually will line up with the truth. You see, that's what God wants us to do, where we, God want us to get to in the end. In the book of John, Chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus was saying, you know, to the people who were gathered around Him, He said, He was the true manna from heaven. The true manna. He said, He was the bread of life. He said, whoever comes to Me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in Me will never be thirsty. When I looked up that word hungry in the Greek dictionary, it's called peinao. That's P-E-I-N-A-O. It means to toil for daily substance. To toil, you know, stress, struggle, hustle, you know, for daily substance. It means to pine. It means to crave, you know, that's hunger. And then it also means to hungry as well. And then the word thirst is called dipsos. That's D-I-P-S-O-S in Greek. It means uncertainty. You're not sure what's going on, what today is. You know, it's like living in a war zone, isn't it? There's uncertainty. You could go out and a rocket might fall. You know, just imagine people living in Ukraine, for instance. There's always uncertainty. You can't guarantee that when you go to the shops, it's not going to be bombed. You know, that sort of mindset, that mentality. So what God wants to do, or what Christ wants to do, or what the Word, what God is hoping that the Word of God will achieve in a believer's life is to remove that toil, that stress, that race to the top, that, is it rat race, that rat race that we all do. You know, I'm sure Monday is coming. Sometimes Sunday evening, people's mind are always on attention. That's how I can describe it, because they're thinking of what's going to happen on Monday, Monday afternoon, and so even throughout the week. So Monday evening is sometimes the worst day of Sunday evening is the one of the worst days for a typical worker in this country. I remember one of my colleagues, he came in on, I can't remember which day he came into work, and he began to sing that Phil Collins song. Do you know that song? This is another day in paradise. You know, remember that song, yeah? You know, and everybody just busted out laughing because they knew what he was talking about. Because it's just, that's the existence of many people. But what God's word wants to do is to make a difference. You know, to help us, to enable us to live a victorious life, to live a stress-free life, to live a toil-free. You know, you can work hard. You know, there's nothing wrong with working hard, but toiling and struggling and striving and, you know, and getting upset at everybody, that's not God's will for us. And also, what will the day bring? That sort of thing. That's the thirst element of it as well. Thirsty, you know, you're not sure what the day will bring, whether someone will come with a question or just derail your plans that you've neatly laid out for the week. You know, that element. So the toiling, the uncertainty, what God's word comes to do is to remove those things from our lives. You see? So a believer that doesn't live by the word, I believe, is similar to the elder brother of the prodigal son. I don't know what to call it because he doesn't have a name, but I know what you know what I'm trying to say. See, that elder brother, you know, he's very obedient to his dad. You know, he at least tries to be good. But you know what God said to him? You know, God said to him, "My son, you are always with me, and everything that is mine is yours." You see, but that son, the way he lived, was that he was just relying on his own ability. But God wants us to rely on his word, you know, to make a difference in our lives. You know, he wants believers, he wants people, you know, because God understands that this world, the toiling, is not good for us. It's not good for a Christian, it's not good for believers, you know. And that's one of the things that Pastor has been teaching on wisdom. You know, wisdom takes out the toiling. You know, I remember one of my former bosses, he gave us a wisdom of, you know, having a plan. You know, he called it top five things that you have to do, you know, in your day. Try and plan it as much as possible. You know, once you achieve those top five things, you're good to go. Anything else is a bonus. You know, just those top five, that's wisdom. So that took out the stress. So that's how, you know, I'm not saying that you'll find every answer in the Bible. God inspires even unbelievers to give us wisdom that we need to live a toil-free life, to live a stress-free life. But the Word of God also contains some nuggets that mixed or enabled with the power of the Holy Spirit enables us to live a life that is stress-free. So Acts chapter 20, verse 32. That's, just quickly, I know time is going, and I have to do the communion as well. So Acts 20, 32, it says, "And so I entrust you into God's hand and the message of his grace, which is all that you need to become strong. All of God's blessings are imparted through the message of his grace, which he provides as the spiritual inheritance given to all of his..." Basically, what he was saying there was that God's word is able to build us up. He's able to enable us to become strong, able to package us so that we live a victorious life. You know, the Bible says that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, Lord. You see, it's the word of Christ that is in us, that we, as we live it, that's how the victory comes. But, and you know, we don't just live it naturally. We can't live it by the flesh. Because, you see, the word and the flesh, they don't really mix. What happens is the trick or the secret is that we need the Holy Spirit to help us to live that word, you know. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 2, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 2, it says, our faith in Jesus Christ transfers God's righteousness to us. And he now declares us flawless in his eyes. You know, that's the word speaking now, you see. But when you look at yourself as a natural human being, I'm not flawless. That's the first thing you will say to yourself. But the word of God is saying that as far as God is concerned, you are flawless in his eyes. This means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, you see. So how's your peace temperature or barometer? You know, we should have peace as believers. So lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, has done for us. It's not because of what you have done. It's because of what Christ has done. You see, the word enables you to have peace. So when you're not having peace, it means that you're outside of the word. You are on your own, or you are digressing. You don't know what your inheritance is. See, God expects you to have lasting peace because of what Christ has done, because the word says so. See, so that's how to live in the good of the word. That's how to experience the things of the word. I know that in the translation I have, it says that through my faith in Christ, I now have permanent access into God's great kindness, goodness, and inheritance. That's what the translation I have says in that passage. So it's through my faith in Christ, I have permanent access into God's great kindness, goodness, and inheritance on a daily basis, you know, on a consistent basis. Then in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Okay. All right, I'll jump to another one. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, for instance, it says, I can be sure that in everything, God is working for my welfare because I love him and he has called me according to his purpose. So there's no need to feel uncertainty, you know, when we have the word with us. You know, I think in Jeremiah it says, I know the plans or the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts of peace, thoughts of welfare. You see, this is tying back to what the scripture says, or what God is saying about us. It says that God is working in everything, not in some things, in everything, God is working for my welfare. And that's what we should be declaring to ourselves, you know. But we need the Holy Spirit to enable us to do this, you know. Another passage which we could read is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. You know, I'm not saying that as a believer, everything is going to be plain sailing. You know, despite, regardless of the circumstances, you know, one thing that we need to encourage ourselves is this. You see, this is what Paul was saying. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, God sees me through all my difficulties. He sees me through all my difficulties so that I can strengthen others in their troubles with the same strength I have received from God. You see? So when we have issues, when we have challenges, God sees you through it. He enables you to overcome it. And also, once you've done that, you are now skilled to encourage other people who are facing similar challenges. Yeah? Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, by the spirit of faith, I believe the truth and speak it openly and boldly. You see, the Holy Spirit, when you are convinced about a word, the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to speak it openly, even though it hasn't happened yet. There's just confidence that you know that this is going to happen. The Holy Spirit enables you to begin to declare it openly in our prayer time, in our, you know, even when you're talking to friends, You know, he gives you that boldness. And so what I'm trying to say, just trying to summarize what I've been saying so far, is that the word and the flesh, there's going to be a struggle. But what we need is that we need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to use the word to maximum effect. Because this year is the year of our elevation. What God expects from us is that he wants to see us not toiling, not stressing, not forcing as we normally do. He wants us to approach life in a different way. He wants us to be elevated, to be joyful people, you know. You know, it's, the Bible says rejoice at all times. But the flesh will say, I can't rejoice because, you know, I can only rejoice when things are good, and when things are bad, no joy. But with the Holy Spirit's cooperation and assurance, because we know that even when things are bad, God is working behind the scenes to make sure that it turns out for our good. Yeah? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 19, I think. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 19. It says, I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, will impart to you the riches of the Spirit of wisdom. You see, Pastor has been speaking about wisdom. You see, the Holy Spirit is not only the Spirit of Christ, not only the Spirit of faith, it's also here the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation, to know him. But to know him is to unlock the word, really, because Jesus Christ is the word. To know him through your deepening intimacy with him, or through your deep intimacy with the word. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. So there's a treasure, there's an inheritance that God has stored up for each and every one of us. And the Holy Spirit gives us illumination into that thing, those things, you know, into those words. So this year, God expects us to make more use of the word of God, more use of his words in our daily experience. Let it not be a Sunday or Friday practice or business, yes. So he wants us to do it on a regular basis, on a regular basis. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 to 2, and I'll be rounding up. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 to 12. It says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. You see, God has given, you know, he expects us to be joyful all the time because he has qualified us to share in his inheritance. And then I think there was one word which I have for the evangelism team. And it's in Acts chapter 18, verse 19 to 20. But simply put, I'm sure you will know the scripture, the evangelism team. It says, don't be afraid. Keep speaking boldly and do not be silent, for I am with you. So when we minister, sometimes there's fear, isn't it? Because we know that some people, they don't have even time for the Lord. And sometimes, you know, you can be intimidated. But what God is saying is, do not be afraid. Keep speaking boldly. And do not be silent. That's the most important one. Do not be silent, for I am with you. So I trust this morning that the little that we have learned, that God expects us to live by the word. It says, don't live by food alone. Don't live by food alone. But in this world, most of the time we live by food alone. Breakfast, lunch, snacks, and even dinner to throw it in, and sweets. But God is saying that every word of God matters. Every word of God matters. Food, You know, it comes in and, you know, it goes out. But God's word, it achieves eternal life. Yeah, and it stays and it remains and abides, you know, with you. You can even reuse it. The ones you have eaten, the word of God, God's word that you've eaten like 10 years ago, if you face another challenge, you can use it to overcome that challenge, you know. So God says that let us as believers, especially this year of our elevation, let's use the word of God to be elevated, amen, to make a difference, that people will see us and notice that these people are different. Amen. These people are different. But the word of God needs the Spirit of God to activate it, you know, to activate it so that we can experience what we are reading. Yes. That's what brings most joy. Yes. And when you use the word and it happens, you know, I'm not saying it's not going to happen instantly. Sometimes it will happen and you are not even, I've got 0 minutes. It will happen and you not even realized it. And you just think, this thing that was an issue before, it's all resolved and I wasn't even aware of it. That's what the word of God does. Thank you very much for that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Oh, Lord God, we bless your holy name. We magnify you, Lord. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who is the word of God, who is the bread of life. Bread of life, we partake of you this morning, and we're about to partake of you even now. We thank you for coming from heaven to identify with us. We thank you because you have taken our poverty and given us in exchange the riches of your glorious kingdom. And we pray, Lord God, that as we partake of the bread and the wine, that the kingdom of heaven, the resources of heaven, will come alive in our experience, in our day-to-day life, Lord. And Lord God, we will not only be reading it, but we will be actively living and sharing the life of Christ that he wants us to live in this life. Not only the life to come, but in this very time, in this very moment. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what Jesus represents in our life. We thank you for all that Jesus has done for us. We thank you for the power and the resources of Jesus that is available for us. We thank you because we live this moment by the bread of life. We live this moment, we eat this moment, the bread, the true bread that comes from heaven. And we know that, Lord, it will work wonders for us. Amen. In our day, it will work deliverance. Amen. It will work health. Amen. It will work the peace of God. Amen. It will work a life free from toiling, amen, free from uncertainty, amen, free from where is my God, free from hassle, that the peace of God will invade our hearts and invade our homes and will make a difference in our lives. Amen. Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. We thank you because you are making all things to work together for our good. We are certain, we are sure of this. And so, Lord, we are at peace all the time. Whether in sunny times or rainy times, we are always at peace. Because we know that, Lord God, you are in control. To you be all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you.